You're listening to the Fourth Wall Comics Podcast, episode 23, recorded August 19th, 2012. Comics Podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I am Freddie.
And this is episode 23, and we're here to talk about fucking DC Comics, but not just any old DC Comics, two in particular that are intertwined and providing a pretty good damn read, and that is Swamp Thing and Animal Man. We talked about these books a while back when they were kind of, we were doing issue by issue, ever since kind of the New 52 started. Yes. And we were reviewing them. Of course, we got really excited because Scott Snyder, a guy who we all know and love in this industry, he writes a lot of great books. He's doing a Swamp Thing. And Jeff Lemire, who we praised a Sweet Tooth, his indie work, and then he was given the chance to do Animal Man. So the two of these guys did this really genius idea. They decided to take these two characters and do a whole event kind of wrapped around these two characters involving their different worlds and mythologies, and now that's finally coming to fruition with this event called Rot World.
If you haven't read any of, you know, these books, go back and listen to, we have a podcast where we talked about the first issue of Swamp Thing and the first issue of Animal Man, and then we also have another podcast where we talk about issues 2 through 5 of each series as well. This is more of a podcast for people that are getting excited for the crossover and the big events that are about to happen in both books. And it's going to be a great crossover. And we're going to delve into all that and everything that's happened since issue 5.
So, yeah, we're leaving off from issue 5, and then we're going to be in with 6 for each side. And we're going to start with Swamp Thing. And, Freddie, you recently just read all of these, so it's fresh in your head, and I'll catch up along with you. But, starting with issue 6... What did you think, like, going from 6 to 12, how did you think the arc went?
Before we recorded this, I thought, you know, I was going to enjoy leading up to the crossover Animal Man more, because that was the one I really enjoyed the most from issues 1 to 5.
Yeah.
And then it seemed like that book was kind of spinning its wheels a little bit. It
didn't
really have the exciting things going on. You don't really see Buddy Baker, who is Animal Man. You don't really see him using his powers interesting ways.
Yeah, he kind of gets fucked up a lot. Like, he gets beaten and defeated a lot in these issues leading up to 12. And, he finally, in issue 11, he starts to come back a little bit. But, or 10, I should say. You see him kind of start kicking ass again.
Upgrade. He gets the the red, and he talks to the higher ups, and then the two royal tailors give him the upgrade that he so needs.
The homosexual Martians give
him. Yes, we have to have a conversation of if they should change his hair to be a brunette or not, because
that's important.
Those are decisions that need to be made.
Yes, and he kind of comes back, but with Swamp Thing, starting with issue 7, things really pick up.
Abigail, his love of, he loved her previously in his other life, and now he's fallen for her again. It's kind of funny when the Parliament of Trees will call her, not a whore, but a witch or something.
Yeah.
That witch, you shouldn't have anything to do with her. And then
Alex's like, shut up. She's nice.
Yeah.
I'm a girlfriend. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, in issue 7, we finally get to see Swamp Thing pop his claws, quote-unquote. Like, we've been waiting for 7 issues, or 6 issues, for him to be Swamp Thing, because he's been Alec the entire time. And he's refused to be Swamp Thing again. He's like, I don't want to be that monster. That's not me anymore. And finally, the Parliament of Trees gets attacked, and
burned to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all dying, and then finally he's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll do it.
Because he's about to die himself. He's about to get fucked up. And
he got a chainsaw through the chest.
Yeah, it's and
pretty rough.
Yo, it's Brad. It ends on a real downer, like issue 6, because like Abby gets taken by her half brother. William, and then she gets put into this weird cocoon thing because they want her to be the queen of the rot. And then Alec gets taken away, and then he's about to die. And then the Parliament's like, you know what? We're gonna give you one more chance.
Well, I love the fact that since they're dying, they save his life, and not to like for any altruistic reason,
no.
Save him to put him through the pain that they're feeling. Like the dialogue that they have between Alec and the Parliamentarians is like, "You were such an asshole. You didn't believe us. Now we're dying. Now you're gonna feel our pain. You son of a bitch. I hate you." And then he's like, oh, but wait, hold on, I have a, ace in the hole kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They didn't have enough strength to turn him back into Swamp Thing.
Yeah,
but
so
he's like, aha.
Bio-restorative formula.
Mm-hmm. So they're like, use it now, asshole, because we're not going to give you another shot. So he does it, and then it has this really epic moment in 7 where he changes back, but you don't really actually see him yet in, like, full glory. You see just snippets of him changing and stuff, and it's beautiful artwork. Like, his transformation is probably one of my favorite parts in these two books. I think Yannick, how do you say his last name? Paquette?
Paquette, yeah.
Yeah, Paquette does some amazing work here with him changing, and then you get to see him kind of like flying away. It's really badass. So then
The same issue has a really creepy page toward the middle/end part of the book where some of the rot is being featured, and while Abigail is kind of being sucked into that cocoon.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a page where there's a baby's head on one of these dead things. With, like, wings coming off of it, and it's weird. Like, that one immediately stuck out to me. Like, I see all these other really, like, every panel of this that shows the ride, it looks like it could be some heavy metal, death metal band's album cover or something like that.
That's exactly
when I saw that baby, and it's a smiling, like, happy baby. It's not, and it's like I have blood dripping off its face. Yeah. I was like, no, you went too far. You can't do that.
You can't do that. That crosses the line.
Yeah.
So then it leads into the next issue, which would be issue 8, and it's basically like Swamp Thing shows up, and he's like, you got my woman, I'm going to fuck you guys up. And then he just like beats the shit out of a bunch of rot, and he fights the Rot King, which kind of looks like Pumpkinhead. I don't know if you thought of that.
You know what I thought is the guy in the very beginning of issue 8 who plays the angry farmer with a pitchfork.
Yeah.
Looks very much, and I'm sure Scott Snyder did this intentionally because I think he's probably a fan of Twin Peaks. Like Jack Nance.
He does.
Twin Peaks, who says, there's a fish in the percolator, and, who finds the body in the beginning of the show in washed ashore.
Yeah.
But I'm getting sidetracked.
Yeah, you are. We're not talking about Twin Peaks again. God damn it. You will not derail us with Twin Peaks anymore. So he goes to the desert. Has a big ass cool reveal where he starts changing all the landscape back to green. Remember that flying sequence?
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty cool. And this big splash reveal of him, and he's got like this weird horn crown going on. It's a really cool design for the new Swamp Thing. I like it. It's better than because like the old Swamp Thing, he looked cool, but he was very kind of boring, very one note, just green thing. So this with this new design, he's kind of got these like hard wood type edges around his body, and he's got the horns growing out of his head. So it's cool.
One critique, the fight scenes are almost too much to look at. Like,
there's a lot going on.
Fighting them. It's just like, because it's already like the panels are so detailed and there's like rot everywhere. And you're like, what am I even looking at here?
Yeah, until the big reveal of what Abigail has turned into, the queen of the rot, which looks nothing like any of the other rot.
Yeah,
really?
It's kind of odd.
Yeah, she looks like the queen alien kind of. From Alien mixed with Pumpkinhead. Like, if you were to mix the two, that's basically what she looks like. So basically, that's the end of the issue. The big cliffhanger for that is the queen stabs a Swamp Thing through the chest, which kind of looks weird because, like, I don't know, like, when you look at the final page, her fingers look like they're just going – they were pasted right on the back of Swamp Thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's really no, like, ridges around the tears. Like, so it just looks like it's just pasted onto his back. But
then we go to issue 9, and Alec pulls an old "I put orchid seeds in your peaches" routine, because we've all done that to the ladies.
Yeah, that's how is anyone going to get any, really?
So then, of course, he has control of her inside of this, the body of this necromorph alien queen thing, and she kind of hatches out of it, or I don't know exactly how you'd describe that. But yeah, it goes. I knew there was going to be something with those fucking peaches.
And they didn't mention them. You did.
Last time, I was like, is something with those peaches? You know?
And then the king gets kind of angry. The king of the rock gets really pissed. And he starts fucking. And then this is when the panels get really fucking nuts. And really all it is just orange lettering on a bunch of crazy shit.
Right.
Seath. That's the name of the king of the rock, by the way. So Swamp Thing gets fucked up, and it looks like he's about to die. But then Abby, I think this design, if I remember correctly, was used for Abby a while back. Like in the, I don't know if Alan Moore ever did it, because I don't know. I haven't read all of Alan Moore's run. But I know in the 90s, definitely, that she looked like this, with all the flowers and stuff all over.
But so I used to read Swamp Thing.
Yeah, longer hair. She had the white long hair. So she fights Seath, and she starts fucking everything up with her powers. And then she like she starts out as that kind of green thing, but then she starts turning darker and is kind of more connected to the rot. And then she uses that power against Seath and basically like fucking messes him up bad piece by piece. And then leaves William basically alone to be like, oh no, the rot, we lost, you know.
So then we get the big return of Anton Arcane, and then he goes to the swamp where Abigail has recently laid Swamp Thing to rest. And I love the structure of that issue. I think it was issue 10, where it starts out and you see Anton killing someone. And I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be the boy that you had left off with, like maybe he for some reason turns on him.
Yeah.
Or, but then you're kind of figuring it's, it's got to be somebody connected to this whole thing, and there's not that many characters to go with. So.
Yeah.
But, in the end, it is interesting how it turns out that was Swamp Thing, and he's bashing his head in.
Yeah.
But then, once again, Swamp Thing gets the upper hand because he has got the Parliament of Trees to come back to life miraculously. That's a lot of what goes on in this book. It's like, since it's like nonstop.
Yeah.
Nonstop fighting, it's always like, I have the upper hand. And they're like, ooh, I did this. I have, seeds in your stomach because I put it in your peaches.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. And also there's a artist change on this book to Francesco
Francavilla.
He does this issue, which is kind of drastic.
He was in he did a lot of the Scott Snyder Detective Comics. The arc where it was the son of
James Gordon,
James Gordon Jr.
Mm.
So that it's so drastic. It's like it's very jarring.
And then another artist comes in for issue 11, Marco Rudy, and then again drastic change. Like I don't know if I like this. Like all these different artists coming because it's so different. Like Anton Arcane looks nothing like the previous issue.
Right.
Nothing like him. So basically Abby and them fight. Yeah, and then Swamp Thing gets saved miraculously. The big reveal at the end is Buddy Baker shows up with his family, saying like they need to go into the rot right now. And then issue 12 is actually – this is where things get a little confusing because issue 12 of Swamp Thing is actually the Rot World prologue part 2. So you have to actually read Animal Man 12 first before reading Swamp Thing.
Right.
So it's kind of weird.
I love the scene in Swamp Thing 11 where Swamp Thing is fighting with Anton Arcane. And at first you think Swamp Thing has the upper hand because he does this sweet-ass move where he has all of the what do you call those guys? The ones that are infected with rot but they were once human.
Oh, the unhumans. Yeah.
Unmen or something
the
like that.
Yeah, the unmen.
Yeah. And then he like pokes all these like trees out of it, like goes like a porcupine, which is pretty badass.
That was
so you never get a moment
that
like metal. That with
yeah,
hell yeah. With Animal Man though, it's always just like
it's pretty boring, kind of. Yeah,
he just punches someone's head off, and you're like, oh, okay, that's it, I guess.
But the artwork in this, like, yeah, it's drastic changes, but it is always epic and violent. And like, at one point, he fucking cuts off Arcane's arms. Remember that? Like both his arms.
Well, then he gets his arms cut in or stuck in his stomach.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you put a hole in me, a wound in me, it turns into a mouth.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that. Very vaginal. But then, like, he's walking into the swamp, his arms are back and the hole's gone. So I guess he regenerates.
He didn't have teeth in his mouth?
I don't know. Fucking know. So anyway, that's the end of that. So I guess we can hop over to Animal Man now.
Before we do, I just want to say the reveal of Buddy Baker and his family going into the swamp is handled so much better in Swamp Thing.
It is.
I don't know why it is, like why it's so clumsily done in Animal Man, because you think it's his own book. It would be kind of epic seeing Swamp Thing, but it's kind of just sloppy. So
it's almost like an afterthought, really, where it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, they're there. So, yeah, Animal Man, we're going to start with 6. This issue, I don't know. I don't know what they were trying to do with this issue.
When I first heard about the premise of this, which if you haven't read it and you're still listening by this point, Animal Man 6 is kind of like a one-shot, kind of. I mean, at the very end of it does tie into the continuing story, but it's about him and he started in a film – which was directed, which I thought that was kind of funny, Ryan Darinofsky.
That is kind of funny.
Darren Aronofsky. Mm-hmm. In a movie called Tights, where he plays a superhero that, you know, is kind of like a take off his life, you know, the true story. And, you know, he used to be something, and now he's kind of, you know, his wife's left him, and he's kind of like trying to get back up in the world, and so he tries to put it. It's something like Mark Miller would almost write, what I felt like when I was reading it. So then he puts on a superhero costume again and gets the crap beat out of him by some thugs. And that's the movie. And then the very like last 2 or 3 pages continue the story of Buddy and his family being in the RV.
Yeah. And this one, I think, suffers way more from the what the fuck is going on with the artwork column than Swamp Thing. It just changes so drastically from – not issue to issue, from page to page. It's like they can't keep a consistency going. And in this issue, more so than others, just because like they have all these different artists doing the front story, and then at the end – you see these characters, and no offense to the artist, but it's not very good. Like, if you look at the first panel after, or the second panel on page 19, like, what the fuck is going on with Maxine's face? You know what I mean? Like, she looks
his son is supposed to be redheaded, but in this issue, he's
maybe because it's night out,
black hair. Yeah. I'm not sure.
That's a lazy way of
it. That's Travel Foreman. I mean, it's the usual guy doing those final. It could just be rushed.
Yeah, because Buddy Baker looks like shit, too, on page 20. But anyway, that's my one huge critique before we even get into it of this whole series for Animal Man. The artwork sometimes is beautiful, like amazing, and sometimes it's god-awful. But I think I blame that on probably maybe scheduling stuff. Maybe they had to rush some pages out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they have –
Steve Pugh, who Art and I always talk about, because he is an artist / writer who did a book co-written by Warren Ellis called Hotwire Detective Exorcist over at Radical Publishing. And it was really a delight to see him come over and do this book at DC, especially one that I'm already reading and already a big fan of. I was like, oh, sweet. And I think his tone definitely – I don't know if they're doing this on purpose, but they try to get him to kind of match Travel Foreman so it's not too jarring.
Yeah.
Does a pretty good job.
Yeah, he does a pretty good job. And instead of going from issue to issue like we do with Swamp Thing, I think I'm just going to talk about the overall one leading up to 12. Because, I mean, there's really not much to say other than, like, most of it is just dialogue and character stuff, which is good, but, things don't really get moving.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying earlier. Like, I thought I was going to enjoy Animal Man more, and then it turned out I enjoyed Swamp Thing, because everything we just said, like, there's so much to it. It's like action, action, action. And granted, it does kind of get formulaic where it's like, I have the upper hand. No, I have the upper hand. But with this, it's just like, how many times can I hear the grandmother, Mary, say, Buddy Baker, you're a piece of shit. I fucking hate you.
That's pretty much what she says verbatim, yeah. And, yeah, there's a little bit of cameos, like in one issue, Constantine, Madame Xanadu, and Xantana show up.
Which was
kind of pointless. I think it was thrown in there just so Jeff Lemire can make a mention of a future character, which was going to be probably Frankenstein when they mentioned the big green guy. And the action is kind of cool when they're in the red. Like at one point, Buddy gets possessed by one of the rot, and he has to go to the red to kind of figure out how to get back. And there's a really cool scene where he's being ferried across the red by this, goat guy. And I love the explanation of the red, how, it starts changing. It's changed since Buddy has been there the last time, and they're changing it in a way that makes more sense to the Avatar. Like, to Maxine. And she is kind of turning it into a, world that's like a fairy tale kingdom.
Yeah, like a Narnia type thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So they have the goat guy who takes him across the ferry, or ferries him across, and then they have to fight some of the rot, and then these, like, warrior, these knights, quote-unquote, show up. And they look like knights, you know, with armor and stuff. And then they help him out. That was probably one of my favorite parts of the issues, was that. So Buddy gets a new body, because he has to come back and fight the demon, or the rot that possessed his body, and save Cliff, who's been kind of taken hostage, kind of. Like, the evil Buddy tricked Cliff into following him. So they go, and the fight is so anticlimactic. It's literally just one panel. Maybe two panels. I'm sorry. He turns into a gorilla and punches his head off, and then uses a big elephant hoof to step on it.
Yeah, it seems like Buddy Baker does that a lot. It's also in issue 8. He, like, kicks one of the rot's heads off. And there's a, I think something Jeff Lemire just really likes writing.
People being
heads flying off.
Well, the one, I guess, way you can explain it is the rot is decaying flesh, so they're very, like, pliable. So, like, a big force blow will knock head right off.
Gives they're like zombies. You get a head wound.
Yeah, yeah, you fucking take him out the head. So anyway, it leads up to issue 11 where they decide, you know what, we gotta go find the Swamp Thing. And Cliff kind of, due to his instance with the rot, kind of becomes sick and very ill. And that's where issue 12 picks up for Animal Man, where they decide to go to find Swamp Thing, and they go into the swamp and leave Cliff behind with the grandmother. And Swamp Thing and Animal Man decide they have to go into the rot, of course, to go fight. But like Freddy said, that the reveal is really shitty when they do find them. They're just kind of like in the background, like, oh, hey. And then there's this real big exposition of like re-explaining what just happened to Animal Man in the past kind of 6 issues, really. Or 12 issues, I guess. They go all the way back to the beginning. And that's like three pages.
Yeah, I guess they're trying to get, you know, if someone just happened to jump on at this issue.
Which would be a terrible idea, but.
Yeah.
So they decide, okay, we're going to go into the rot. So they jump in, and they leave, which was kind of an odd choice. They say, oh no, Maxine, Abby, and Buddy's wife, stay here. You'll be fine. Out in the open in this swamp. And so they leave, and of course they get attacked immediately. And then Buddy and Swamp Thing are powerless to help them because they're in the rot now. And then that's where Swamp Thing 12 picks up, is them going through the rot and trying to figure out how to get to the Parliament of Decay, I guess, and take them out.
Right.
And then Swamp Thing number 12, everything goes tits up, basically. It turns out that Arcane was actually planning them to come into the rot because once they sever their connection to the outside world, Alec and Buddy Baker, they lose their connection to the red and the green, respectively. So they're powerless in the rot. Arcane shows up real creepy on this, like, bone ladder. He's, like, crawling down it. It's really fucking...
Good things never happen on a bone ladder.
No. Bone ladders equal never good.
No one has ever got a blowjob on a bone ladder. I'm going to go ahead and say that right now.
And really, who would want one on a bone
ladder? Like, maybe a boner ladder. Oh!
Oh, my God. We're trying to put out quality. High caliber, remember? It's 2008.
Hey, where's my Eisner at? That's what I want to know.
Your Eisner? For making a dick
excellence
joke?
In comic podcasting.
For making a dick joke.
Yes.
Boner ladder. All right. Now that we've sucked up, well, let's keep going. So yeah, Arcane attacks, and he's like, I got you, bitches. And then after they fall off the ladder, they kind of wake up, and they realize they're back in the real world. But something's happened. Time has jumped ahead a few years.
Yeah, and the rot world, they've been in there for what they thought was like 10 minutes. It turns out it's a year.
Yeah, they've been in there for a year, and they wake up, and they're like, oh, shit. So this is cool. They have like a final page that's cut in half, and the left side is what Swamp Thing is at, and then the right side is Buddy Baker. And on the left side, Swamp Thing is being confronted by what we kind of figure out is Poison Ivy, holding like a wood or like a wood sword to his head,
is kind of calling back to Neil Gaiman's Black Orchid. If you ever read that, how Poison Ivy had kind of a connection to the green and, you know, the Swamp Thing and things like that.
And then on the right side, Buddy Baker just wakes up in this fucked up zoo where all the animals are dead. And yeah, it's really cool. And then it leaves a little tease to look out for Swamp Thing number 13 and Animal Man number 13, which are going to be Rot World, the Green Kingdom, and Rot World, the Red Kingdom, respectively. But it's the only thing that sucks about this is you have to wait till October because those dumbass issue zeros are coming out in September, and it kind of pushed everything back by a month. So that kind of sucks. But I mean, overall, what did you think? Do you think it's a nice tie-in and it's a good build-up for Rot World? Or
I am excited for it. But that being said, we've known this was coming since what, issue 2 of each of these books?
I think they announced it back issue 3 or so. They announced they were going to do a crossover between.
But there's been like little subtle hints. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know exactly what issue, but very early on,
yeah.
You know, you kind of put two and two together. Plus, like, you know, Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire are good friends. If you go on Twitter, you always see them
you know,
messaging each other and things like that.
It's cute.
And it just seems, you know, in reading these, it's like, I wish this would have happened, you know, maybe issue 7, 8.
Do you think it needed to go 11 before they finally met up?
Probably not. And I think if it was just up to them, it probably wouldn't have. I'm sure it has something to do with trades.
Yeah.
Like the first 6 will be this. The next six will lead into this, and then the next trade will be the fight. You know, I'm sure that's exactly why it had to be done like this. They had to stretch it out, so it's like, okay, at the end of issue 12, they're finally together, then it happens. Because there was a lot of just like, how many times did they explain, okay, there's the green, which is, you know, Swamp Thing and everything, and then there's red, and then there's the rot. But they kept saying, the rot, we have to have the rot. It's all necessary. It's all part of this. You know, throughout time, there has been times when the green tried to take over everything. Mm-hmm. There's been times when the red tried, and then now is the time when the rot. But we can't get rid of it. We have to have it. It's necessary. Every human being is filled with a certain amount of decay. And they said that in Swamp Thing. They said it in Animal Man.
Sweat it.
And they sweat it out too much. So,
yeah, I mean, the build-up is good, but, like, after you say, after about issue... For me, it was, like, issue 8 or so, where I'm like, all right, let's get going here. Like, let's get it going. But, I mean, I did like how they reintroduced Arcane, because he's probably one of my favorite villains who's easily forgotten about in comic history, but
another thing, I was like, I knew they were going to do that, because they've hinted at him.
Mm-hmm.
When you first see Abigail,
You know Arcane's going to show back up,
But then when... They defeat Seethe, and then they're like, okay, well, now we'll bring out Anton Arcane. And you're like, well, why didn't you just do that from the beginning? I mean...
Yeah, why have Seethe? Like, well, I think they wanted to have that big moment.
Right, yeah.
You know? Like, they had to have the big moment. And, I don't hate it as much, but I just wish I would have seen more of Arcane to make him more of a threat. Because he just shows up for, like, 3 issues. And then on the boner ladder. And he just bites the umbilical cord off. And then they're all fucked. But overall, I think it's one of the better crossovers that I've read in a long time. Like, compared to, especially, like, we've been bombarded with all these big, stupid event books over the past few years. It's nice.
We're not doing a special about Avengers versus X-Men.
Exactly. Notice we're not touching any other crossover event, or the ultimate crossover going on right now. Like, we're not talking about any of that. We're talking about this because it's contained to these 2 books, which is awesome. It may involve Frankenstein, possibly, but we don't know yet. We'll see where that goes.
That'll be interesting because I know you and I aren't reading that book, so it'll be weird if like we start having to pick up issues. Because I really hope it's just these 2 that you have to read, and that's it.
Yeah, that's kind of the appeal for me, anyways. Like, you just pick up Animal Man, Swamp Thing, and you can read this epic event. You know, every month, 2 issues. Like, it's badass.
Yeah.
But the second they start introducing more books, that's when it starts getting like, okay. It reminds me a little bit of like a Messiah Complex. Whereas this huge event, but it's contained in the X-Men books, you know? With this, it's kind of similar, but it's just contained here, and that's the appeal for me, is to read just these 2 volumes. So I hope they keep it going, because right now I think they've done a great job of, like, getting into the mythology that's not just been around recently. Like, Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire didn't just make all this stuff up. It's been around for a long time. Like you said, Neil Gaiman touched on it way back with Poison Ivy, and then, of course... Famously, Alan Moore did a lot of the green stuff and all that back when he was writing Swamp Thing. So this stuff has been here, but it's just kind of been sitting around, and no one's really taken advantage of it. So it's cool to be like to think that Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire are kind of like, oh, what? Look at this! No one's doing anything. What the? This is awesome! And they decide to do it together. So I'm really excited to see where Rot World goes. I hope they're not pressured by DC or anything to try and make it bigger than it should be. Like, I really hope it's self-contained in these 2 books, and it's this great, like, crossover event. Because, like I said, it's one of the better ones that's come out in the past few years.
one very last thing I wanted to mention, because I had it here in my notes, and I would be remiss without mentioning it. In issue 11 of Swamp Thing,
yes.
When he confronts Anton, and Anton has taken Abigail, and he's bringing him, you know, taking her back to the Rot, and saying like, "Oh, there's a family reunion. How dare you interrupt, Swamp Thing?" There's this brilliant line of dialogue that actually made me laugh out loud, where Anton says, "Dr. Holland, but you see, you're interrupting a family reunion," and Swamp Thing goes, "Put it in a letter. It ends here."
That is an awesome rebuttal.
Write a letter. And then it'd be funny if the next panel was like, okay, I will write a letter.
Arcane's just sitting at a desk. Like, after he gets shot in the head, he's like in the Rot at like a bone desk or something, or like a decaying desk. And he's got like a finger as the pen. Like, how am I going to vocalize? How can I write this down to make sure Holland can understand that I really want this family reunion to happen?
Like, can I get a stamp in here?
Like, how am I going to send this out? Am I just going to throw it up that bone ladder and then they'll get it? Should I just give it to, like, as he's falling down the ladder, like, hey, wait, there's this note! Like, before you fall. Oh, shit, he's gone. Oh, well.
You told me to write a letter, and I wrote one.
Asshole! He throws it at him as he's falling. And then they wake up, and then Swamp Thing's looking around, Poison Ivy's there, and like, oh, yeah, there's this letter that fell after you, too.
That'll definitely be. We'll have to see in October if that's where it picks up.
Oh, that's the cliffhanger for me, is if they, like, I found the letter. And it's just a really well-written letter about, like, family and how important family is and the importance of getting together once in a while and how what he went through to get back to Abby. Yeah, it'd be nice. But, yeah.
We can only hope. But if you want to write us a letter and tell us what the hell were you talking about in that Swamp Thing Animal Man podcast, you can do that. Maybe not snail mail, but email at least. And you can email us at contactfourthwall@yahoo.com and maybe suggest maybe some other DC 52 books that where you're missing out on, or any other – what your favorite that you're reading right now. Let us know.
Yeah, you can also find us on Facebook. Look up the Fourth Wall Podcast. You'll see the 4WP logo. Like us there. We post there once in a while, and we'll keep everyone informed on what we're going to be talking about next. And also, you can contact us through there if you want to, you know, share your stories about what you thought about Rot World and all that. And then we're also on Twitter, @4WP. So, yeah, follow us on there, and you can keep tabs on what the Fourth Wall is up to. And as always, if you want to go straight to the source, fuck all this other social media bullshit, go right to breakthefourthwall.com. You'll find all of our podcasts, sidecasts, special editions, our videos. We have so much shit on there. It's crazy. So look it all up on there and get ready, because October's coming up soon. You know what that means. Halloween.
Shocktober. Halloween Spooktacular.
One of our favorite months here at the Fourth Wall. And we're going to talk about horror movies and fucking horror comics. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great month. So look forward to that in October.
Another thing to look forward to, I don't know if you've seen our Twitter. We posted a tweet about this lately, but I'll reiterate it here
for
those who didn't see. There was a Animal Man annual that we didn't really talk about. It was kind of a side story that involved Maxine and the cat, Socks. And he tells a story about a previous Swamp Thing and a previous Animal Man that team up in the past and have to defeat the Rot. Mm. So in October, to be specific, October 31st, the day of Halloween this year, is going to be a new comic book day. And on that new comic book day, there's going to be released a Swamp Thing annual. And guess who's doing the art? Your friend and ours, Becky Cloonan.
Oh, yeah!
It's going to be freaking awesome.
We praised her to high heaven for her work on Batman 12. Our last podcast, and I'm sure there's going to be more of the same on October 31st. So, yeah, we got that. You already got that to look forward to on Halloween.
Absolutely.
We're going to put that shit out close, if not on Halloween, close too. We'll see how schedules work, but we're going to try. So, yeah, you have so much more to look forward to and all that. BreakTheFourthWall.com. And, of course, iTunes and all that. Subscribe, rate us, whatever. If you listen to us through there, that'd be great. All right, well, that does it for this week. Thanks for listening, you guys. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Freddy.
See you guys next time.
Peace.
I don't do that other part. I've said it many times. That another guy does that, but he's not here.
We said he was going to be back this time. And
we did. We totally lied.
He'll be back. Stay tuned next episode for Art. And he's
will Art here. Return? We'll find. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we can leave.
Is he? He's probably hanging out on a boner ladder.
Throwing letters at people about family reunions.
Waiting to get a blowjob on a boner ladder. I'm like, it's not gonna happen.
He's gonna be waiting for a while. We should send him a letter on the boner ladder, telling, hey, you're not gonna get a blowjob on there.
Yeah,
no blowjobs on the boner ladder.
No sex in the champagne room. Yep. Those are just the rules. We don't make them. We just abide by them.
We have to, because it'd be chaos if we didn't.